Ata Maria, everyone, Morena. The first reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verse 1, and then verses 7 to 14. This gospel is filled with a concern for people with all kinds of need. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." And then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." And then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of Christ. Te ronga pai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me tia ia a te kupu mana.
Morena. Thank you, Sue, for your reading. Ko Ian Scarlett, toku ingoa. In our gospel reading, we heard Jesus telling a parable about humility to the dinner guests at the house of a prominent Pharisee. He wanted the dinner guests to know how important humility was in their everyday relationships. If you've read your newsletter, I mentioned in this week's Something to Think About the fact that over the past few months, I've been reading about the life of the late Pope Francis. And I've been amazed at the importance that he placed on humility and the ways he expressed it in his relationships. It's inspired me to take a fresh look at humility as it relates to my attitudes and relationships. I think you can see a couple of the books that I've been reading on the screen there. Going back to our reading, Jesus noticed the dinner guests picking up the places of honour at the dinner table. It would have been a U-shaped table with the host seated at the bottom of the U and the places of highest honour next to the host. The places of lowest honour were far away from the host at the top of the U. Kind of see Jesus there on the left and the host on the right. They're not kind of at the top of the, at the bottom of the U like I was describing, but you get the idea, don't you? And Jesus finished his parable with these words: "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Now, humility is often not our first response. We live in a world that encourages us to put ourselves first and concern for others second. During a recent trip that Jenny and I did to Europe, we attended a Romanian National Opera performance in the city of Bucharest. We had booked our seats before leaving home. You can see what the opera house looked like. And we were pleasantly surprised to be ushered into a box when we arrived at the opera house. That photo was taken from the box. It made us feel quite special. We were slightly elevated above the general seating and had an excellent view of the stage, even though our seats were only in the second row of the box. The box had seven seats, three in the front, three in the middle, and one at the back. And we were in two of the middle seats. You see, like all concert venues and sports arenas, the way the seating is arranged and priced encourages us to put ourselves first. When the opera began, some of the other seats in our box were occupied, but the seat directly in front of us remained empty. So we had a great view. During one of the intervals, we spoke to the woman who was sitting next to us in the second row, because we thought that she may have booked the seat in front of us, the empty one. She confirmed our suspicions. But when we encouraged her to take that seat, she said, "No, I'm happy here. I've seen this opera before. And if I sat there, I would block your view because I'm quite tall." Our hearts were warmed by her humble reply. So what exactly is humility? According to the Oxford Dictionary, humility is the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. Not of one's significance, but just of one's importance. It involves seeing others as important and listening to their views. Humility is not weakness, it's strength under control. It's strength that is led by the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, The Economist magazine had this to say about humility. If leadership has a secret ingredient, it may well be humility. A humble boss understands that there are things he doesn't know. He or she listens not only to the other bigwigs at the World Economic Forum, but also to the kind of people who don't get invited to the forum, such as their customers. Cartoonist Charles M. Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts comic strip, which features characters like Snoopy and Charlie Brown, captured the flip side of humility with this little comic strip up here. I don't know if you can read all the text, can you? Yes, great. Some of you can't. You might have to come up later and have a look closely. Snoopy's speaking to his little bird friend, Woodstock. I'll leave you to figure that one out. And humility was demonstrated by Pope Francis when he was presented as Pope for the first time. So this is just after the election in 2013, where the conclave said he was going to be the next Pope. He declined to use a platform that would have elevated him above the other cardinals. Instead, he preferred to stay at the same height as they were. "I'll stay down here," he is reported to have said. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he encourages humility with these words: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Looking to the interests of others was exactly what our box companion at the opera did for us. So, is it possible for us to cultivate humility? I believe the answer is a resounding yes. But it does require commitment. Pope Francis chose to maintain his old motto, which was "lowly but chosen," when he was elected Pope. That motto had been chosen earlier in his life when he decided to embrace radical humility as a counter to his own personality, which had, as he, in his words, dogmatic and authoritarian streaks. We can learn humility from the accounts of godly people in Scripture, like Moses, known as the most humble man in the world, and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, who treasured all those things in her heart. We can also learn humility from the actions of people in our everyday lives, like for us, the woman at the opera. But most significantly, Jesus invites us to learn from him. Speaking to a crowd, and this is recorded in Matthew chapter 11, he said, and you'll be familiar with these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and," listen to this, "learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you remember the gentleness and humility Jesus displayed when he was confronted with the woman caught in adultery? It's recorded in John chapter 8. While he was teaching, some religious leaders dragged a woman caught in adultery before him. They said to Jesus, "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone her. Now, what do you say?" But their question wasn't about the law. They were actually trying to trap Jesus. But they encountered humility wrapped in authority. Jesus didn't reply. He remained silent. Bending down, he wrote on the ground with his finger. Sometimes what's louder than our words is silence. Letting the Holy Spirit speak to us before we respond. Sometimes what's stronger than a sharp reply is a prayer. "Lord, what do I do here?" When the religious leaders kept questioning him, Jesus straightened up and said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." One by one, the stones dropped and they walked away. Now it was just Jesus and the woman. Jesus didn't say, "You should have known better." He didn't ask, "How long has this been going on?" He didn't say, "You've embarrassed me." He simply said, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." That's truth delivered with humility. Correction wrapped in compassion. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus we worship. He didn't excuse her sin, he empowered her freedom. He didn't beat her down, he lifted her up, because humility doesn't lower the standard, it lifts the person. Jesus won her with gentleness and humility. So just to summarize, how do we cultivate humility? Three things. Pause before you react. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. You find that in James chapter 1, verse 19. In the Message, it reads like this: lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue. Second, pray for the person who tests your humility, the one who gets under your skin. As we pray, God changes us. We're praying for them, but God changes us. And finally, Ask the Holy Spirit for help every morning. Humility starts with our moment with God. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to show us what humility is all about. Please help us in our relationships. Give us wisdom and courage to walk in humility. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
You.